happened today? What are you thinking about when you're walking down the street? Is your head in a cloud? Don't you want to know what's going on? Let's go! Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Checking in with Mary Lynn. Let's check in with Mary Lynn.
Hi, everybody. My name is Mary Lynn Ricecup. Welcome to Checking In with Mary Lynn, also known as Mary Lynn. Mary Lynn is the official name of the podcast. Podcasting is a wonderful medium where I get to talk to you and only you. Are you driving? Are you cleaning the grout in your shower? Maybe you're power walking. I hope you're doing all three of these things at the same time. Either way, whatever you're doing, I hope it's not masturbating. I'm glad you're here. I'm coming to you from Encino, California, where it is August and the cost of living is not cheap. I'm reminded every day when I put on my favorite channel, HGTV, that you can get a mansion with 4 acres of land for $300,000 in some parts of this great country of ours. But here in LA, I remember when I'm kind of an international superstar. I've had a very charmed life. I do still lead a very charmed life. But I've talked about it on stage about how I spent all my TV money because I don't really know how to have money or keep money. And I thought it was funny to buy a house in the valley, the deep valley at the top of the market, and then realize that I could pay for it for about 2 years. I like how I just started talking about the most general of things, and then I just went right into this dark hole of like, here's the time when I spent all my money, everybody. I was simply thinking about a sense of place and time and where I'm at and this house. It's a wonderful house. I love this house, but it also, it's not large. And I was going to say, I remember when, acknowledge I am an actor. I've been an actor for many years. I swear to God, some people when they meet me freak out. This happened at Irvine at the comedy stand-up show I just did. Sometimes I can feel people shaking a little bit when they meet me. Can you believe that? You're like, come on. I met you. I was like, who gives a fuck? I get that too. Sometimes I get, where do I know you from? And I'm like, it's from TV. And they're like, no, that's not it. And I say, I think it is it. And they say, no, is it from Carpool? What up, dude? Just podcasting. If you're going to interrupt, make it good. Come on over here and say something.
Make a grand entrance.
Make a grand entrance. What's up? You knew I was doing this, but you came in anyway, didn't you?
Yeah.
What have you got to say? This guy just turned 10 years old. His name's Val. He's now... he's toggling back and forth behind me in a really annoying way. Just kind of like popping in, popping that way.
Okay, bye.
Now I scared him away because I call him annoying. Now he's mad at me. He's the person I love most in the world. Designed my life around you. Love you. I miss you. Come back. Come back. I wonder if he did have something that he wanted to say.
You ruined it, yeah.
Or if he just came in. I ruined it.
He came in ready and you're like, oh, he's fine. I'm not going to say it now. You called him out about his toggling.
He was toggling. Well, I'm sitting here looking back behind me and we have a special relationship. He's an only child. So it's very interesting. You have a brother, right?
I have two.
You have two brothers. That's
yeah,
right.
Two older brothers.
Tony Revis, everybody. Let him hear it. What the hell was I talking about? Spending all my money.
Irvine.
Property.
People shaking.
Oh, people shaking. I can't even commit to that because it's so silly. But no, it's an exciting thing if you are on a show that people love and then they meet you and they and other people just it's the most normal thing. You're just really familiar to them and other people could care less. Other, you know. So that's kind of a neat experience because I get a little bit of all those things. I don't remember why I was going down that train of thought. I guess because I just had that experience in Irvine. And then I was thinking about, oh, when I got this house, there's one of the Hollywood magazines. I think it was Variety or something. They have a real estate section where they talk about so-and-so just unloaded their, you know, $10 million pad in I can't think of one celebrity's name. Matt Damon just sold his house to Ellen DeGeneres for a cool $8 million. So-and-so, you know, took a price cut on their $20 million. The article that they wrote about me was Marilyn Rice Cub buys regular house in regular neighborhood. That was the real estate scuttlebutt on MLR. But yeah, I was thinking about that recently when I start doing stand-up shows again, because sometimes I'll do B comedy clubs and I'll never forget there was this couple that showed up dressed to the nines. You know, she had her purse and her heels and her white pants. And the club that I was performing in was kind of dusty and the curtains were stapled up there and I could just see her face very confused. Why are you here? You're an international superstar. And I was thinking, yeah, why? I'm wondering that myself. Because I like it like that, but I also kind of like this. I think I talked about this a little bit. I've talked about it in different ways, but I got into it a little bit, I believe, on Joe Rogan podcast, that I sometimes when I'm on the road, there's a suffering that comes with it, but I realized after a while that I like the suffering and I designed it that way myself, because sometimes I'll book these clubs and the hotel will be right in the middle of a bunch of freeways. And then I won't rent a car. I'm trying to think of a good example. I think it's somewhere like Austin. That's a great town. Everybody loves it across the board. Whoever you talk to, oh, Austin is great. And I stayed just outside of Austin with no car. Who does that? In between a bunch of freeways. How did I manage to? And that's on me. Now, that might be the hotel that the club recommended, which I think it was. I don't really remember. It's all a mismatch in my mind of what cities. But that's my example of a cool city staying near the freeway. And I did that in Chicago, too. I stayed outside of Chicago, again, in some chain hotel near a freeway where I just started walking along the freeway and I would cross over the freeway and go to Applebee's and have a salad with deep fried chicken on top of it and ranch dressing because that was the healthiest choice on the menu. And it took me so long to realize, oh, you are making these choices. I mean, yes, there's a cost to it. Maybe is it going to cost a little bit more to rent a car? Sure. But how about a little research and pay a little bit more money so that you are near a city? Either get a car or be near the city or just ask questions. You know, yeah. Look into it before you say yes to somewhere. Look into where the club is and what kinds of things you can do around there for yourself that won't leave you in a low-grade depression.
What would you prefer? Like, what would you want around?
Well, that's the thing. What I came to terms with is I think I like this sort of that breakfast that comes with the hotel. You know, that's
the continental just, breakfast.
Yeah, that's just sometimes they'll have scrambled eggs, but they're not real eggs. They're just powdered eggs, and they're just weird. Sometimes I'll get the fancy suite, but it's in a rundown hotel. So it's just a hot plate with tin foil over it and some dusty flower display that looks like it would be at a funeral because it's so large. And there was this one suite in Tampa. They gave me the nicest room in the place, but it was hadn't been redone since this. It had that paint that was just layers since the 70s, layers of beige, and a walk-in closet. But the weirdest, it looked like a suicide chamber, the closet. Like, clearly nobody used it, and it was off to the side. And their suite was two small rooms that were jammed together. And then there was a dining room table that looked like you would get it from a thrift shop. You know, just with, again, that, not decal, but, you know, that wood, that, but it looks like a sticker. It doesn't look like a wood, like a wood finish. And I want to say it had a gold trim and, again, this flower arrangement. But a dining room table for 10 people in one half of this. And it was just me. And it was also, like, it was trying so hard to be nice, but it clearly was... who's coming here with their crew to party all night?
Have a dinner like
you
for
would
10.
Have a fancier, nicer time at Applebee's. Like who's bringing their crew back to this room at the Holiday Inn or whatever it was? Not to disparage the Holiday Inn, a very nice hotel chain, but it was not by any standard. If you're going to have a suite, just why bother? Just make a really nice room and redo it to modern standards.
And I feel like that's anywhere.
Yeah.
My first year of college, I went to Las Vegas, and my first night there was before we could move into the dorm. So I stayed at the Flamingo, and they bumped me up because I was only there for one night. So I had like a suite to myself. I was like an 18-year-old kid. It was the same thing. It was a bedroom and then like a bigger room with like a big dining room table. But even I'm like, who's going to use this in Vegas? Everyone's out. Who's going to come, you know?
Yeah, it is an interesting design. I feel like
George Wallace's room.
As a whole.
Where he stays.
Where he goes in between shows and brings his crew.
All right.
Hopefully someone does. I just think that there's this, I mean, hopefully we're entering into an era where it's not even lavish, but these where we have to have more houses and a dining room. It doesn't really fit most people's lifestyle and that as a culture, that idea that we've got to have more or bigger. I mean, do I still want a nicer house? Yeah, I do. You know, we want to be comfortable and we do aspire to a comfortable life. But the idea that the hotel suite with the dining room, I mean, I guess that still is, there are a lot of rich people that live like that and don't even think about that. That's just normal. But by and large, I don't think that stuff makes you happier, really. And it's such a waste of, who's having a dinner party up in their suite in Vegas? We had one of those at our wedding. We got married at Planet Hollywood in Vegas. Very glamorous. Very beautiful. When they closed that gauzy curtain between the casino and the chapel, I heard the sound of slot machines, but to me, it was angels from heaven. I don't know if God was there, but Elvis was there. He played us down the aisle, and we had a non-denominational person, a coach, a preacher. I don't know if my poor Catholic parents and mother and father-in-law, also Catholic. My husband and I got married with none of our family there. Well, because we did everything, we got pregnant by accident. 3 months into dating. And then we got married when our son was a year old. So he was at the wedding and he's seen pictures of himself. He cried through the whole wedding. He had a little gold tie on, a little white shirt. He's 10 now. We stayed together. Yeah, we got married at Planet Hollywood Vegas because I randomly, this was at the point in my career. It was a very small window at the height of 24 where a couple of times people would say, come to this party And this was one bizarre, random thing that didn't end up happening where I got asked to host a nightclub. For some reason, the nightclub closed, but I still had the trip intact. So I still, I guess it was promoting Planet Hollywood, and I got to invite friends. This only happened once in my career.
Yeah.
I know probably this happens to people all the time where they get paid to go to parties. You know, Scott Disick on the Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Do you know who that is? You laughed. Yeah. Okay. Everyone knows who he is. Yeah. I mean, this was a few years ago. I think he's probably either in rehab or Rio de Janeiro, left the country. But I remember I'm all over the place today. I used to watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Maybe that's just normal me. It's like sidetrack on top of sidetrack. But when I was filming 24 in London for 5 months, my husband, Matthew, and my kid, Val, they were there for part of it. And then I was there for the last month by myself. And I remember that last month, the day they left, I put on Keeping Up with Kardashians for the first time, and they just kept me company. And then I started cleaning chairs and cleaning dust on my hands and knees with a paper towel and a, because I mean, it's exciting to be out of the country and work. And when you're working, you're really working, but then you have days off. Mm-hmm. And by that point I had already been there for months. So that shit was getting old, you know, it's yeah. like, oh, am I going to get on the tube yeah. and get a little pastry and just get on the tube and go wherever? It's like, oh, God, you know, my family's gone. And I remember that's the first time I watched it. But, yeah, Disick would always go to parties and stuff like that. Okay, that wasn't too bad of a sidetrack. So I went to host this party, which didn't end up happening. And I remember texting Matthew when this trip was in place. And I texted him, hey, should we get married in Vegas? And he just texted back, yep. And then that's how we decided to get married. So
when was this?
This was our son was born in 2008. So this was 2009. And we did have a big party for our baby because that's kind of what happened first. We had a huge baby shower and we had a huge, I think, first birthday party for him. Was it a first? Yeah, his first birthday party, because his second birthday party, we went to Disneyland. Which, by the way, Disneyland is one of those things both my husband and I were like, ugh, like, why are we wanted to do it? You want to do it because you have a kid. But if you're not that type of person, it's just like you start thinking, oh, we should be on drugs or drunk in order to make it through this. Which I don't think is that unusual or abnormal. When you just think about going there, the parking, the price, the stimulus, the people, the waiting in lines is a nightmare. But
there's that fine line too, where it's like, all right, I know, like, what age do you take your kid there? Because like,
that's a very good point.
If they're 2 or 3, yeah, they're going to enjoy it, but they're not going to remember it.
Okay, he loved it, but he does not. He only remembers it from the pictures. But yeah. I will say, my argument is for the fact that I maintain that we went into it with such a, you know, an edgy attitude of like, oh, this is going to be crazy. And then once you see your kid's face, seeing Mickey or any number of the teacups or those, you know, the cartoon telephone booth, any number of things that blows their minds, getting on the train. Yeah, he probably doesn't even remember it. But being in that moment for that experience, all of your preconceived adult jaded attitudes disappear and you see it through your kid's eyes. Yeah. And it is the most palpable, magical thing that I understand why we do that as parents. It's just an amazing thing. And I'm curious if he sees the pictures and it actually jogs his memory a little bit, or you just have that thing sometimes where the photo really does. I don't think does anyone really go back and watch their videos of anything?
That's a good point.
Maybe some people keep track of it. I think there's probably a lot of people that are in the category that I'm in where I film and take pictures of stuff constantly. And then it just sits there, or I dump it on a hard drive and I never go on that hard drive.
Yeah.
And then I feel like I'm in for a rude awakening when I go to either look for something or just have an emotional breakdown of all the memories that I've just, things you've forgotten about that you filmed. I will never go through that. It's thousands, that thousands of digital. Maybe there's a person. That's a good call to action for our listeners. How do you deal with stuff like that now?
Yeah.
Same thing with music. I just erased the music app from my iPhone because every time I got into my car, it picks up music and I share with my husband. So there's all this like thug rap music on there. So every time I get in there, it's like Slim Hog, Wu-Tang Clan. And I'm just like, I'm not asking to hear that right now. Oh, it's either that or Michael Bublé Christmas music. I'm like, I never want to hear any of those as soon as I get. And then I'll try to listen to other stuff. And the music app will push it off and play itself. It's like the car is determined to connect with. And so I just erase the music app on my phone.
Wow.
And I know everyone has their own thing. Some people live by the music in their phone. I do not. So we have that. Once again, somebody texted me during my timing of this. I'm just curious, guys, because I am new to podcasting, so I want to see how it's going to go down and how much more I want to get into for now. I did get a new car recently. Did you see it in the driveway?
I did.
Did it catch your eye?
Yeah, because I saw your post about it too, so I was
looking
forward to seeing it when I got here.
Social media is so bizarre.
Yeah.
I actually heard... A random Joe Rogan podcast came up in my phone. Like, you know how your YouTube will suggest things, and it was him and Brian Redband talking about science fiction, you know, like Blade Runner, the original Blade Runner taking place in 2019. And they were just tripping out about how, you know, it's now the future is now type stuff. And H.G. Wells predicting the future. That was real. That was an interesting, funny. But one of the things Joe Rogan said was like, I'm the only, and I feel the same way. I was like, I'm right there with you, buddy. Like, he's like, at my age, I'm one of the last generation that's, I remember a time before we had internet.
Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with me? I was talking about my car. Why did I just trip out about the internet? I like it like that. Do, 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 do.
Oh, social media. You're talking about social media because I saw you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I saw you post
it. Thanks for being here. Oh, yeah. I will constantly not trip out about that's how we catch up with people. When you see somebody and you feel like you know about them.
Yeah.
I had so many people because people, you do, you live a little vicariously and you see what's going on with people. And that new car was a really good post. I mean, so many days I'm just like, here's me in my day. You know, I always envy people that seem like they always have something going on that's worth posting about. I don't know how many times I'm just like, here's a selfie of me. I'm walking my dog again. I'm having breakfast. So it's real exciting to put a new car. And the post was totally worth it because... I went in there, of course, I go into the Lexus dealership. I know I'm that person. But thinking back, I've done that a few times and I've never regretted, even though it's you're not getting the best deal. But I have a corporation as an actor. You just, you know, have a, that's where you run your business through for taxes or whatever. So I've been told by my accountant that it's because I really have a pretty low overhead in terms of my expenses so that it actually is a good thing for me to have a car to write off. And so I justify that by getting the lease from the dealership. And I was looking at this Lexus. So I used to have high-end cars, like my first really expensive lease that I got way back when. And I put a bunch of money down, which you're not supposed to do in a lease. This was years ago. And I don't regret it, though, because I was driving this Volvo with over 200,000 miles. And I think I was in my late 20s, early 30s. And I had just made some money for the first time. And my car was all junked up. And there was... And I knew she was kind of taking advantage of me. Maybe I didn't know in the moment because I was so, you get like, that's how they get you. Because they get, you know, they could see my excitement even though I was trying to play it cool.
Yeah.
And I remember just putting a ridiculous amount of money down, like a few thousand or something. But I got this little Mercedes hardtop convertible. And I drove that shit off the lot with the biggest smile on my face. Like they say, money can't buy happiness. I was for a good year. Every time I got into that car was so happy. I mean, I had guys like trying to pick me up at the gas station because of my vibe when I was in that car. You know what I mean? Like that's, I don't give that off ever in my life. I talk about that in my stand up, just the type of person that I am. I look back at pictures of me in my 20s and I'm like, you were a hot bitch. Like, why didn't you get something going with that? But I always cast as like the nervous weirdo because that's, you know, that was typecasting. I still am that. I'm better now a little bit. But anyway, yeah, had that car. Loved every second of it. Traded that old Volvo with a bunch of crap in it. Didn't even clean it out. Bunch of papers in the back. Bunch of journals. Like crazy notebooks. Weird thrift store clothes in the back. Traded it in. Loved it. So this time, I started talking about that because I had a couple really nice cars in a row. And then I leveled off and eventually got this Mazda, which is a nice car, but it's a reasonable car. You know, it's not like, so I had a Mazda SUV, which I really liked. And then my last car before this one was a Mazda sedan, a little sedan, and it was gray. And I felt like I was real undercover, you know, just like a whatever car close to the ground, a utility car.
Yeah.
And I really liked that car. But I went into this Lexus dealership and I sat in it and I was like, oh, this is my car. And I drove it. And the guy had only worked there a week, the salesperson. And he said, the one I test drove, I said, I think I like the one next to it. He goes, oh, that one is a little bit cheaper. And then he had it wrong. And he goes, sorry, this one is more expensive. I was like, well, this is the one I like. Of course, I like the more expensive one. And I got it. But then the post was about, you know, they drag it out. You're there for so long. And when I first sat down, I was like, I'm just going to test drive it. Of course, I end up buying it. Because I'm a fool. And I kept saying to him, I'm like trying to be a badass. I'm like, I got 15 minutes. You know, like 3 hours later, I'm in with the finance guy. He's like, bing, 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 bing. Like that's him feeding the piece of paper into the old school printer where the thing is like 18 pages long where you're just signing the car lease. And I think he asked me what I did for a living. They make you do that. You'll have to do that for your apartment where they're like, yeah. Where have you lived in the past 2 years? Where have you lived for the past? And still at this point in my life, I mean, I'm very established and secure in terms of I've lived here for a long time, but that still is so much anxiety when they're like, who's your boss? I was like, Universal, which is the last job I had was Universal. I guess I could have put self, but they want a company on there. And every time I get scared, I'm like, I don't know, Google some phone number for Universal. And then even now I still didn't have, I didn't have enough time in this house. We've been here like 3 or 4 years. And before that it was an apartment because we were out of the country. I'm a very glamorous person. I keep it moving. But it's stressful when somebody says, and I don't know if everyone's story is different or people are in two different camps. In my mind, I always think of myself as the outsider still. I'm like, I can't have a regular job. I can't do the things you're supposed to do, show up somewhere.
Yeah.
Like there's a part of me that sometimes I envy that where I'm like, oh, you know where you're going every day and you just do your things the same way. And that must give you such a sense of security. I can't do it. I am a middle-aged woman, a very hot and sexual middle-aged woman. And again, I have owned property. I own this property. It's a big deal. I have to remind myself, you're a very responsible person. I've gotten so much better at, you know, paying the bills and all that, but I still have anxiety and I still am like, wake up going, ah, where's the next thing? Is everything going to be okay? I still don't know.
Yeah.
It is still unclear. I still didn't get to the end of that story, which was about the post, which was at the very end. They have this cartoonishly, you can go on my Instagram and scroll back and see it, large red bow. And I was like, oh, man. And I was so deadpan throughout the entire car process. I was just like, oh, this is hilarious. Really? And I couldn't help but smile, but I still was, I didn't even know what to do. I was like, oh, you do this for every mom bitch that comes in here and buys. I got the Lexus SUV, the NH300 or whatever it is. It's super nice and luxurious. And I still have flashbacks to my Mazda, guilty flashbacks. Like, oh, I could have just been in that. Because now it's like, this is who I am in my pearl white mini SUV. Look at me pulling into the parking space at Ralph's. Yeah, it's got tan interior, power everything. This is how I think of myself. You know, with the gray Mazda, you're just kind of like, fuck it.
Incognito.
It's that on the road in the hotel by the freeway, walking along the freeway. You know, partly you're not admitting to your greatness, but the other part is I'm down with this is what it's like.
Yeah, but you've earned it and you can still have that vibe in your new
car. I have
car.
To say, I don't mean to get all like positive thinking or whatever. So funny, my husband, here goes the door again. Yeah. We do this at the same time when he comes in, but I just got this job and then I got another audition and it was shortly after getting that car. Now, I'm not advocating getting something you can't afford, but there is something to be said for it that tracks with my story about the Mercedes. It pumps you up. You're like, right. Yeah, I drive a pearl white Lexus with a tan interior with a moonroof and seat warmers. What's up? But yeah, I have pangs of guilt and or I deserve to be in that Mazda. Not part. Sometimes it's thinking of it as a lower status. And other times it's like, just have a normal car and just be reasonable. But that's an interesting, bigger topic is how do you indulge in stuff and get excited about stuff that's, you know, material of this world and to sort of have that balance that, you know, we do want to have goals. We do want to be excited. We do want to, you know, I guess it'd be similar to going out of the house, not taking a shower, wearing, you know, you could equate it to that where times where you, if you dress yourself a little bit nicer, you're like, oh, I'm like a real person. I have to represent, you know, I've had times in my life where I've gotten my hair done and it's like, oh, hey world, you know, yeah. Where, and some people live like that every day. I am not one of them. Yeah. It's probably a lot of people.
No, I relate to that because my day job, I went in and most of the time I'm like, ugh. I just go in there. I just want day to go by. So I'm in like basketball shorts or like a sports jersey or whatever. Then like one day, like I'm going somewhere afterwards. So I'm actually a little dressed
people
up.
People are like, oh,
you look nice. just I look normal.
That's, yes, yeah, yeah. That's, you're that's like, the, I hit the neutral normal
but that's
bar
nice
that
now
be.
Compared yeah. to how I normally show up. So,
and I will say on the same note, but as an offshoot of that, like don't go to Starbucks in your pajama bottoms. I see a lot of ladies do that, guys too. And I get darn close to doing that. Sometimes Matthew will catch me. I'll go, can I go on a dog walk in this? And he's like, no, like not even a dog walk. Like absolutely. You cannot go to Starbucks with like baggy, thin, you know, no underwear, ripped pajama pants, like stop. Or traveling. People travel like that. You travel. Do you travel in pajamas?
Did no.
I just, okay.
I'll try to travel as comfortable as possible.
And cover your feet. Am I right?
Yeah.
Socks and shoes.
Yeah, socks and shoes always. I don't.
Okay.
Never. There's nothing else that I wear. Besides
okay,
socks
good.
And shoes,
so. I'm glad that I didn't just say yeah. that. And you're like, yeah, man, I slip on some flip flops.
No.
Which again, a lot of people do, and it is.
Yeah.
Not cool. But I get it. You know, we were talking about that before we started the podcast. Like traveling is
the worst.
Planes are like an F you now, and you got to smell the food of the person next to you.
And what was crazy, my last flight, when I was coming back to LA from visiting home, they had so many people in line for security because they only had like one checkpoint open that they just had a dog come. We didn't take our shoes off. We didn't take anything out of our bags. They just had like, all right, you're just going to go past this dog. I was like, why do we not do this every time?
Yeah.
It was so efficient.
Yeah, that's the best word.
But I was also kind of scared now. I was like, well, what if this
Today's
dog's
having... podcast theme is like...
this dog's having an off day.
Is a paradox the right word? No, that's not the right word. Where two things are happening at the same time, the negative and the positive. Like, it's awesome that you can just get by with just a dog, but then the negative is like, what? Okay, so every other time that we have to do this, this is a total bullshit.
Right.
What's the word I'm looking for? All right, so... I'm loving doing this podcast. I am loving that you're helping me do this. It's really awesome. And now I'm about to go out of town, which I don't even know if I can talk about yet. I will, though. Not on this podcast. I'll do it on the next podcast because I'll be there by the time I talk about it. But wish me luck. And I'm going to close out this podcast right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to learn how to solo podcast, next which time. I really don't want to do. But I just got an exciting job out of town, which I'll tell you guys about.
Yeah, next time you're here, she'll be flying solo. So hopefully it goes well.
Oh my gosh.
I have faith. I'm going to show you how to do it. It'll be fine.
I told you not on the podcast. Oh no, I talked about this on the Facebook Live I just did, which is I did a podcast years ago, and it's, you know, there's always like, there's a cool person that was around, this guy Troy. He's like, oh, it's so easy. And he was pumping me up like, you just do this. And I totally messed it up. Like, all I had to do was press start and stop, which we're going to do right now. It's going to be start, stop. I don't know. I don't like that GarageBand thing. There's too many.
Yeah.
Have make one for podcasting? Like, podcasting is so popular now. It's like, dude, I'm not producing a song right now. I just need start, stop, voice, take the file, put it.
Yeah.
But we can do it. We're going to get it done. All right.
Yeah. Well,
so that's the podcast for today. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I'm really excited to keep this going. And thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Bye.